The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Looks like all the coaches, Tausch, have these new cut-off, like, muscle shirt-style hoodies and then the T-shirt underneath. It's almost like the vests you like to wear, except there's obviously not the zipper. Is that an ensemble? Sure. Should I see if I can get you one? Is that an ensemble you'd be open to? LaFleur had it for his presser. It's a good look, I think, if you fill it out correctly.
I think that thin, really light material, because you know, obviously these guys are going to be out in the sun for a while. You can put sunscreen on. You want to protect yourself, especially as you get older. So I think that's probably a part of it. But there's also that, it's a good look. So, I think it's I'm glad that you mentioned that. I hope that becomes more hip as we get into the summer months or as we kind of start winding down in the summer. Even though it's going to be 90 blanking degrees, I wouldn't be caught in anything but a T-shirt when it's 90, 95 degrees.
All right, I want to get to Watson and Bo Melton, and then I would like to get to my exchange, because your question was a really good one. Maybe I didn't execute it as well, but I thought I got a great answer once we got through our little back and forth between the head coach and me. But let's start with Christian Watson. You know, you heard the cheer for him just jogging past the fans. Yogging, soft J. And obviously, we know, and we've talked about it hundreds of times over the past 3+ years, that this offense is different when he's on the field. The problem is there have been too many times over the years where he wasn't on the field. And I think with what we've seen on social media, what you've talked about in terms of Halloween, what I've talked about being potentially wrong, not being a doctor, that it might not be till November that he would be available to them. There's been a groundswell of optimism. And then we talked to Goody. And I want you to hear exactly what Goody said and tell me if this increases, decreases, or has no effect on your hopes and expectations for when we might see number 9 full go for the Green Bay Packers.
Great. You know, he's a freak, you know, like, so he did a run test the other day, looked great. You know, again, it's an ACL and it's a second one. So we're going to take our time with it. I'm sure there's going to be a time where he's really pressing to get out there, but he's going great.
Tausch, feel better, worse, or the same?
The same. I mean, he's going to say what he needs to say. And I think Christian Watson will push, and I think wisely the Packers will kind of hold off, but you know, the thing that would push me to think that maybe I'll be wrong is you can almost stash guys away on this pup list, and then help me out again how that works when it comes to final cuts. If they don't practice at all, you can then pup them
correct
in the beginning of the season, give you a 6-week window. They can start practicing maybe week 3, 4, and 5, and it potentially play week 7. That was my mindset, because I anticipate him working and pushing and then maybe not even coming off a pup and then get pupped and maybe be ready to play by week 7, 8, which would be around Halloween. That was kind of the thought process I had, because they have now 12 wide receivers, a lot of young players. They give you that time, and then Christian could still be back sooner than maybe everybody anticipated, Jason Wilde. And that makes the most sense to me. And I think where Goody's at, he is going to protect Christian Watson. It's his second big injury. How you go about doing that and keeping Christian Watson where he doesn't get discouraged, that's going to be the tricky part of it. But I think that formula allows him to get out and start practicing, not counting against the roster. That makes the most sense to me, and that's why I made the prediction that I did.
So to your point, they've got a couple of options. It has evolved, obviously, especially in the years following COVID, where they expanded the options for bringing guys back from injured reserve. If you get put on injured reserve during training camp, historically you were done for the season. And that has been the case with several players. You know, that's what they did with AJ Dillon a year ago, for example. but they do have the option of putting him on having him practice in some capacity, still putting him on IR, and then using that same kind of approach of, okay, he's got to miss four games minimum, then you can start having him, you can open the practice window, etc. PUP means that he would not practice at all in training camp. Once you've practiced, it means you've passed your physical, and it means that you are no longer eligible for the PUP list. The way Goody answered, and it wasn't in that answer, it was in the other answer that he had, it did sound to me, he flat out said he will not practice in full in camp. Now, does that mean that he might practice in some lesser capacity and they take the PUP off the table? Maybe, but I'm going to guess not. And to your point, and I think stashing is a pretty good word, you know, you still have him. You still know you're going to have him. And then you get to dictate when you open the 21-day practice window. You can open it after four games. You can open it after six games.
After two games.
Right. Yeah. Whenever you want to, you can open it. And then from there, you have 21 days,
keep
and then you have to
hot,
make a decision.
Keep whatever's cold. Yeah. Anything right. You want to keep cold, you can put in there.
So it'll be interesting to see how it unspools for him this summer. Now, on the flip side of it. No, I'm sorry. Did you? I'm trying to multitask.
Oh, I had
did
a
you
great
want,
joke that.
Did,
just,
did you?
No, I
did
had
you
a great
want,
joke.
Did you? That. Yeah, that was fantastic. I'm sorry that
Thanks.
I didn't give you your just desserts
you
for how
on.
Good it was. But
I know you got a lot going on.
The multitasking is a little bit, you know, trying
That's
to watch
tough.
And talk
it.
And chew
it.
Gum and all that kind of good stuff. All right. So the other person I want to talk about here, and then hopefully we can have our little.
Well, Jason, before you get into the other person you want to talk about, what do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to
pop. Body language. He's going to get pupped.
I think so, yeah. I think it's the the safest way to do it. And also, you know, and look, I know you had two ACLs, but were they the same leg or were they?
Yeah, second one was a lot easier.
Oh.
A lot easier.
So because you knew what you were up against or because?
It was partially that, but I also didn't have a patellar tendon ripped out and graft. I used something else, and that made it a lot easier recovery on my end.
So I don't know, and again, we'll see if we get to talk to Christian in the locker room, because you know that he's another person that we all want to talk to in addition to Elton in the brand new sexy locker room. But he doesn't. I don't think he has to, but I'm not sure what the training camp rules are if he – and I think he probably would like to, because I know he knows how many people are curious about his situation. But again, I think the smartest way to go about this, especially when you do think about the fact that he's torn his ACL twice now, once in high school or college and once now, is that to play, as Mike McCarthy always would say, the high side of caution. And so we'll see what the timeline is. But to me, the PUP list makes the most sense. I thought that all along. The question is, when are they going to open the window? But we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. And by the way, old boy, I hope I'm wrong about the timeline I said from the jump of mid-November. I hope I'm totally wrong about that. Because let's be honest, this is a really big year for him. He's in a contract year, and you went through this with your injuries. That injuries suck no matter when you get them. But when you get them in a contract year, they are particularly frustrating,
that
are
makes
they not?
It trickier. It makes it trickier, and I think for Christian, he's attacking it. You mentioned it when you were up at the OTAs that you saw him running, and he's going to push the envelope because you're going to be smart, but you also understand that the league doesn't stop, and if you want to keep on this train and you want to make a big impact and make some money, you got to prove that you're back. And will he be fully back? Most guys aren't with the ACL, but get back out there, build it back up, get your confidence going. And I'd be awesome to see him really have a big second half of this season, and because I think Green Bay wants to pay him and wants to keep him. I think they like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he's proven when he's healthy, he is a difference maker, even if Jesse disagrees with me. But he has unfortunately not been able to do that consistently, and that might end up being to the benefit of the G&G, where they can get him on a contract that's maybe a little more team friendly and let him come back and maybe even have a bigger year next year. But all of that's just window dressing right now. A big thing is get back, get back out on the field and then prove that you can stay healthy and play this back half of this 2025 season.
All right, I do want to talk briefly about Bo Melton.
I don't think this is great news for Bo.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Hunter's got that portion of the conversation from earlier today. Here is the discussion about Bo Melton, who is spending most, if not all, of his time and has a new jersey number at cornerback.
Well, I just think that gives – we know what he is as a wide receiver, and I think it just gives him the best opportunity moving forward in regards to if he can really kind of carve out a role in that spot.
So Tausch Goody used the phrase that he's an established player, which, again, as we've learned with Goody, absolutely Aaron Jones will be back, and – oh, we're not going to let Davante Adams out the door. He's a Hall of Fame player. So I understand that what he says doesn't carry a lot of weight. But when you say that he's not going to be splitting time between wide receiver and corner, and that we know what he is as a wide receiver, and Goody even brought up the game in Minnesota when he had the 100-yard game in 2023, which is a huge moment for this team. That was they had to win that game to make the playoffs, and he delivered for them. But as you always say, the league comes at you fast and things change, and they've got so many wide receivers. They're like what's the old nursery rhyme? There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many wide receivers, she didn't know what to do. Like they don't need him necessarily to be a wide receiver on this team with the investments they've made. So if you're him, you do have a niche as a core special teams player. If you view him as such, as a special teams valuable there, and he is able to show that he can be, I don't want to say in case of emergency break glass corner, but a guy who, if you get down, he can play there, and he can play wide receiver. How do you like his chances? Because I like his chances less today than I did at minicamp.
So I tend to agree with you, but I'll say this. You can't really ask a guy who has not played defensive back. He's a great athlete. Obviously, he's an NFL wide receiver. He's proven that. You can't ask him to think that you're going to just say, go play defensive back, even though everybody else has done it their whole lives that's playing it.
Right.
You're not Travis Hunter. But it tells me that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur love this kid and want him on their 53 for special teams. Mm-hmm. He is not going to have a role as a wideout. They know what he is. Obviously, if something goes south in a game and four or five guys get hurt, but with the added acquisitions of Savion Williams, Matthew Golden are both making this team. That's happening. They're not getting cut. That's two. And then you look at the other, you know, Wicks, three, Dobbs, four, Reed, five. Who am I missing? I'm missing a sixth out of that mix.
Malik Keith.
That's where they're at. And yeah. Christian Watson eventually is going to come back. They're basically saying, well, you ain't going to make it as a wideout. Let's give you every opportunity to be able to add some more. You could be somebody that if we, in a pinch, could play you there. But you're going to be a core special teams guy, and you can be our jack of all trades on everything else. That gives you an opportunity to do it. So I think that's the plan. I think they really want to find a spot for him to make this roster. Whether or not that's going to be enough depends on probably how quickly. If he can show that he can be competent as a defensive back, I think he'll have an outside shot of making the team. But it's going to be an uphill climb for him to make it as a defensive back, unless they're only looking at him as a special teams player.
Right. And the other part of this that does play into his favor, not saying that he wants to be on the practice squad, which he's been on before, but you can stock your practice squad with, say, a few extra corners that you don't think are worthy of being on the 53. Keep him as a air quotes corner and more of a special teams guy. And if you need to call up corners from the practice squad on game weeks, you have some flexibility there. So maybe, again, we're on day one, but I did not find, I agree with you. They do like him and they do want him, but they're not. It ain't gonna be easy. And you know what?
Nope.
What I respect about Bo is that he doesn't. He's one of those guys, kind of like you were. He doesn't expect anything to be handed to him. He wants to earn it, and I think he'll have every opportunity to do that. Yep,
he is built for this. So, if anybody can pull it off, it could be him. So, the fact that Green Bay is throwing this lifeline to him, I think, is a good sign. At least they want him to be here, because it would be real easy just to let him kind of fuddle around as a wide receiver, and then, hey, we love what you did, but you know, you're seventh and eighth, and we can't keep eight wideouts.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, I want to get to your question for Matt LaFleur and the exchange that resulted from it being after the closing bell, which I think you'll enjoy. Just like you enjoy every stop you make at Quick Trip.
Well, I love Quick Trip already. But I also love Coors Light. And whether you're tailgating pregame or enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Very smooth. Well done. Thanks for covering for me.
Thank you. You got it.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Well, the attach rolls on the first day of Packers training camp. And Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst speaking before practice. And I want to state this for the record. The execution may have not been as high as I would like it. But the question that I asked, not at your behest, but at your suggestion, was an outstanding question. I mean, it was, I loved it. I even used the 3rd and 7 line. I just thought it was so good. And I'll tell you what, got a really good answer. It may not have gotten a really good answer right away, because there was a little bit of a back and forth that occurred first. And I do want to say one other thing, and I know this sounds self-serving, but believe it or not, Matt and I have a great relationship. And he loves to give me grief, and I'm totally fine with that. And it was fun today. But if you don't know that he loves to give, I would use a different word, but we're on the radio, give me grief, you would think that maybe I was annoying him again today, which I assure you I wasn't, or well, maybe a little. Here is our conversation earlier today about the competition on this team.
Hey, Matt, speaking of competing,
you always ask the extra question every time. Never fails.
Are you okay with that?
It's up to my boss here.
These guys are obviously competing every single down. I get that. But from a starting job perspective, it's really only the left tackle job that's really truly a full-scale competition.
See, I would disagree with that statement wholeheartedly. I think everything's a competition. So I know that you guys, you know, have people penciled in, but like a lot of things change in this league and you can't take it for granted. And you got to earn your spot every day. So I would disagree with you there.
I appreciate that. So my question then is, to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong again, competition here is you got so many wide receivers, you got a bunch of edge rushers, you got all these really good players. Is the competition about, hey, on 3rd and 7 when the money's on the table, who's going to be out there for us offensively? Who's going to be out there defensively? Is that what we're talking about when we're talking about competition?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Every opportunity that these guys get, they got to earn. And quite frankly, I don't care what you've done in the past. You got to go put in the work and you got to prove it throughout the course of the training camp, the preseason. And you can never take it for granted because things change quickly in this league.
Tausch, your thoughts.
Great question. Really good setup with the question. So I understand what Matt's doing. Matt wants to, you know, have competition, be at the really at the foundation of everything that they do. That's how you build, you know, iron sharpens iron and everybody gets better by doing it. But to think that you're not going to lean on experience as far as what guys have done in the past, that is true. Now, that doesn't mean, well, this guy's done it before, he's going to do it again. Well, if he keeps proving that he's not doing it in training camp, then you that opens that door for other opportunities. And the goal of this is to have your veterans feel a little bit, feel a little pressure behind them, and then they rise and say, no, not yet, bucko. I'm still here. And the young guy's saying, well, I'm going to keep chasing. And that breeds that competitive juice that was what Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst want. But the bottom line is it's almost like the analytics firm. You dump all of this info into a machine and you figure out who's going to find who fits the role that we need for these circumstances. But the 3rd and 7 is what you don't worry about any of that. It's like, who do I trust? Who do I know is going to do what they need to do to help us play winning football when that time is now? And that's where you find your dogs. And camp is a big part of figuring out who that player is going to be.
And by the way, great to see the AmFam team that's here at practice watching. And they weren't able to hear your great analysis there, so they'll have to tune in after the fact. But it's great to see them. I do want to add something to that, though, to your point. And if we're being, like, I understand why Matt has to say what he did. But I don't think, barring injuries, we don't think that Tyron Hopper is going to beat out Edgerrin Cooper for one of the linebacker spots, right? We don't think Kalen King is going to come out here and take Keyshawn Nixon's job. Like, they are. And this is one of the differences from, right. I understand you can never say never. But, like, I feel like during your time, you know, not necessarily you after your rookie year, but it always felt like there were 3 or 4, like, legit competitions for starting jobs. And then toward the end of your career and, you know, kind of since 2010, where, you know, the collective bargaining agreement changed things and there's less offseason and all the other stuff, it just felt like you had to figure out your team in the offseason and then be ready to roll with it. And then if there were a couple spots where you weren't sure about, there was a competition. I mean, I'm not wrong, right? He can give me grief for this, but it is the left tackle job, and there's basically nowhere else that's a clear-cut, hey, we don't know who the starter is going to be.
Well, I don't know about right guard. No, I think there's probably other spots that maybe we don't see. But you're definitely – your assessment is accurate, and I don't want Matt LaFleur to answer that question any differently. It's one of these cases where you know you're right, but you know what the head coach has to say. Just like Brian Gutekunst is not going to tell you, he might fib a little bit to you because it's not in the best interest of the team to shoot straight with you on a public deal. To think that Banks isn't going to be the left guard, I don't care. He could urinate down his leg. He's going to be the left guard, period. Unless he's injured, he's going to be left guard. Right. Doesn't matter if Belton or anybody else steps up and just plays dynamite. He is going to be your left guard because – there are decisions made when you sign contracts that it is just like the draft is a indicator of what the thought process is. The draft is more malleable because you don't know, you haven't seen it. You've seen Banks play with San Francisco. All right, this is why you're paying him top dollar. You just paid Zach Tom. So that competition that we thought was going to happen, that some thought, I didn't, Zach Tom is going to be your right tackle. There are certain spots that it's, yep, this is what we're doing. But you still want to have the mindset of your football team to believe you better be on your best every blanking day or someone is there to take your spot. That is built into the mentality of football, and especially young players that don't have big fat contracts.
Were you able to keep that given the way your personality is? Even when you were the established right tackle?
Oh, I never thought, let me tell you, I never thought I was a made man. I mean, There actually were times that I probably was maybe even a little bit further on the other end of the spectrum. Like, I knew that I was going to probably make the team my rookie year, but I did not sign a lease until final cuts. Because you just – you don't know. And
right.
When you're a late pick, you've seen it. When you're a walk-on, you know the game. And I think it would be a lot harder for someone that's a five-star recruit that has 100 colleges throwing everything at him, especially in today's day and age with the money that gets thrown with that.
You know.
But the great ones and the guys that last a long time, they find ways to make sure that motivation level is always high. And it doesn't have to be that I'm going to make the team. It could be I'm going to chase down Peyton Manning or I'm going to do this. You find different motivations that drive you to be the best that you can. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm not going to make the team, because there's some you're going to make the team. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be at your best if you get fat and happy about anywhere where you're – if you ever start feeling complacent in this league, you're going to get passed up, and you might not be out of the league this year, but it'll happen sooner than it should if complacency ever sets in.
As Alex Strofe always says, well said, well said. All right, Packers rolling on here. They're doing the two spot, which I know gets them double the snaps in 11-on-11, or in this case, it looks like, 11-on-11. So they've got two different spots going as of right now. We need to get to Whoa Hunter, and that is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Every day is like a blank canvas. You know you can paint it any way you want it. You can draw a black cloud. You can make the sunshine color.
Practice rolls on at Ray Nitschke Field. We roll on with Woe Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Well, in case people haven't heard, and I mean, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, but there will be no free cheeseburgers in Milwaukee because the Brewers did not win their 12th in a row, so George Webb won't be giving away the free cheeseburgers. I blame Alex Strofe and full-time Will Summers for recording a video saying that they want free cheeseburgers in front of a George Webb yesterday. So they owe, like all of us, free burgers, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they were trying to get ahead of it, but did they jinx it? Maybe. Did the fact that we could only have Miz throw 3 2/3 and our bats didn't go? That's probably more, I think, more important in that process, but there is streaks. You don't mess with streaks, man. When you're on a winning streak as a player, you don't change anything. Baseball players, the stories have been told that are pretty disgusting about what they're doing to make sure that they keep on their hitting streak or their winning streak. And Strofe and the boys, they got a little bit greedy. They wanted to get out in front of it, and when you do that, sometimes you jinx it, and fans have every right to be upset with them.
So are they? Who are they treating to burgers?
I mean,
like, is it just the producer crew or like the entire ESPN Wisconsin team? Because look, I love Strofe, and I love that you guys are calling Will full-time Will, because he is full-time, and he's one of our young rising stars. I love the guy, but what the hell are they doing? I think they do owe you. And again, did the Brewers lose because of what they did?
Yes.
No, but you still don't mess with the streaks.
Maybe.
Man, you know better than
know.
That.
Yeah. We don't know.
If they were in Seattle, had they been like in the stand? Like they said, hey, we're going to road trip because we're going to be there for, right? Was the game in Seattle?
Yep.
It was.
We're going to be there for it to see it happen in person and then, you know, fly back and start getting our burgers. All I know is, why do that? just wait till it happens. So disappointed in both those young fellas.
Yeah, I always think that Strofe knows better, but clearly he doesn't.
That, whoa, you know what? Nelly! You hit on something there. How many more times are we going to say, I think Strofe knows better? Because time after time again, he proves he doesn't.
It feels like Strofe is playing chess, though.
No, I think he's playing checkers instead of chess. I think he's playing tiddlywinks.
Yeah, it's definitely the other way around. I've worked with Strofe enough now. Like, this isn't him trying to be, like, faster than everybody else. Like, he's just dumb. Like, that's all this is.
Ouch.
Dang.
I didn't see that coming.
I mean, he...
Wow.
Whoa. I'll say it to his face.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Wow. Don't get on... I'll tell you what. Don't get on Hunter's bad side.
No kidding.
Learned.
No, I love Strofe.
Don't tug on Superman's cape,
sound like
I
it.
Say.
No,
I love Strofe. He's an idiot. He's dumb. I love him.
I love him. He's just, he makes dumb decisions. And this was one of them, and I want a cheeseburger from him now. Real quick, because it's Big Ten Media Days starting, Luke Fickell will be speaking today. I've started playing the schedule game with the Badgers, and I know I get overly optimistic about them all the time. But
undefeated.
I'm feeling 7-8 wins this year. I think they're going to shock the world. I think they're going to win one of those big marquee games this year. I'm feeling super high on the Badgers right now. I'm pumped for college football this year. Like, am I a lunatic or, like, Strofe dumb?
Why would you be a lunatic? You should be optimistic. And until proven that you're not, again, I think Wisconsin, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, they're 12th ranked in the Big Ten. What would Jocko say, Jason?
Good.
Good. Use it. Understand that this is where you're at right now, and until you prove otherwise, you said they're going to win a big game. We hope that last year there was a lot of big games on the schedule, and you know what? There's a lot of big games on this year's schedule. You're going to have to get to that number, you're going to have to win a couple of those. And, you know, it's the thing about college football now, the excitement level – last year really means nothing. There's so many different new players on everybody's team. The new era of college football really allows you to flip that switch, and you can wipe what happened in the past. It's over. It's gone. And if you don't believe me, ask Indiana. I guarantee Indiana's sports talk last year was probably saying, I don't know, they're only favored to win 4 games. Next thing you know, they're in the CFP chasing down Notre Dame in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought when we talked about this earlier in the week, Hunter, that Tausch said something really smart, which I don't want to make it sound like that doesn't happen on the regular. But I just feel like in today's college football where how many years in a row now is this that there will be a different opening day starting quarterback for the Badgers? Who wasn't with the team the previous year, at least 3, right?
Yeah, this would be 3 for that.
So I just don't know. And again, I understand as I'm part of the sports journalism industrial complex that everyone does predictions. I mean, maybe not me as often as I should, but like they got to put them somewhere. But that doesn't mean anything. And especially now, right? Because you just don't know what your team is. I would be curious, Tausch, how much Luke Fickell really knows what his team is before they get to fall camp. Like, he has some ideas, and they obviously had spring ball, but it's almost as if it's the flip side of my view of the NFL, is you come to training camp with a pretty good idea of what your team is and who's going to be playing where in the NFL. And I just don't think that can be the case in college because of the way it is. So I would, you know, again, I've been rewatching season 3 of Ted Lasso, and They are picked very low in the Premier League, and Ted takes the team down to the sewers of London because let that kind of poop just flow through. Well, I think the Badgers would be smart to take that same approach and also use it as a little motivation. And I hope, Hunter, you're right with your optimism, because that would make for a much more enjoyable 2025 football season.
Whoa, Nelly!
That's all I've got for you guys so we can stay on time here today.
Stay on time. How'd you guys do without me?
We did okay.
We were on point.
I'm sure you were.
No offense.
None taken. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
2025 wants to be in the discussion as one of the greatest Brewers teams of all time.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's going to come down to what they do in October.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
Outgoing team president and CEO Mark Murphy standing with Brian Gutekunst watching practice. He will preside over the shareholders meeting on Friday and then pass the torch to Ed Policy. We'll be there for that. We've got some 11-on-11 going on and Matthew Golden catching a touchdown pass from Malik Willis. So lots of stuff going on. The rain has held off, so looks like we'll get full practice in. Without getting drenched. Tausch, this is the last time before the Tausch summer sabbatical. When you come back from your sabbatical, what are you hoping I am going to tell you a week and a half from now or whatever it is about what has occurred in training camp while you were away?
That there's been a lot of good physical football being played. That Elgton Jenkins is signed, sealed, and playing center. That Matthew Golden continues to shine. I saw Savion Williams, one of the reporters, put out. He made a great one-handed catch. So just that competition and that there's no injuries, but everything that you're starting to see things solidify as far as where they're going to be with their 53 and really with their 22, who's going to be their preferred starters. That's what I'm hoping to hear when I get back.
As the kids say, Malik Willis is cooking right now. Touchdown to Golden, followed by a touchdown to Mecole Hardman. So Packers going through 11-on-11, some red zone work. All right, that's it for us today. Now we've got two options for you in terms of local programming. On ESPN Madison, you'll get Jim, Matt, and Molly live from the Tundra Trio. And on ESPN Milwaukee, you'll get Alex Stroff and Josh DiMaggio on Mr. Irrelevant. So you've got all kinds of choices. Whichever one you choose to listen to live, you listen to the other one later on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Tausch, enjoy your time away. We look forward to your return. And everybody else,
cheerio.
Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.